Oh, shoot. Am I good? Oh, okay. That one went on automatically. I didn't touch. Okay. Oh, there you are.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
A beautiful day for Mother's Day, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, I don't know if anybody read the comics this morning. That's not the only part of the paper I read anymore.
No.
At least when you read it, it's funny. If you read the rest of it, you don't have to look at that.
No.
But if you read the comics, you have to really look at the family service today, because I think that really tells everything about the world. You need to look at that. So again, welcome. One little program note, anybody going to children's worship today, we will be going down after the special music.
All right, thank you, Scott. So please stand and join us as we are singing together, There's Joy in the House of the Lord. I hope you have the joy of the Lord within yourself this morning.
Shout out your praise, tis joy in the house of the Lord. Our special music at this time, and we'll continue to worship and celebrate moms and women this day as we come before the presence of the Lord, give them thanks and praise for all these things. So go ahead, Lily.
So I'm actually over here, okay? So I'm so happy to have my daughter Stephanie and her husband Ozzy and my grandson Gavin here with us today. And Stephanie and Gavin are going to sing a special song, and Stephanie will explain to you why it's so special to her.
Morning.
So this is a special song that I came across from, I think, with Gavin, and I sang it at our baby shower for him, and then it's become our lullaby that we sing every night, right? Almost every night, for many years. He's 7 now. And it's very special that we're going to get to sing it for you today. Find Your Wings.
That's awesome. Thank you, Gavin, for sharing with us. mean, wow, what a powerful word of inspiration on a special day like today. Thank you, God. At this time, when Owen and Cody would come forward, we're going to start collecting the offering as part of the service going forward as we continue to move forward with things at the church here. And just a reminder that your giving supports the ministry here at Grand Methodist Church. It supports us having a service, electricity, air conditioning, our Wednesday night meals, and we can go into our Wednesday night meals. It allows us to have a staff that's able to put together the service each week and fulfill other programs. So your giving is very important to making sure that this church continues to grow and move forward. And it's not just the church, it's an act of giving to God and giving back to God and saying, God, thank you for all that you have done for us. So go ahead and open and give me this morning to the offering. As they're collecting the offering, I just want to give some announcements. And I want to remind the men of the church that we do have a men's breakfast coming up this coming Saturday evening at 9 o'clock. We'd love for you to join us. And if you're online and not with us this morning, we'd love for you to join us at 9 o'clock for the men's breakfast. Also, next Sunday, we will have a congregational meeting. I encourage you to be here for that congregational meeting. And if you see somebody who's not here, invite them to come to that congregational meeting as we'll be talking about the future of Grand Methodist Church and the challenges that we have and how we overcome those challenges and how we move forward. But it'll be a very important meeting next Sunday, right after the service, just to kind of begin to talk and to look to the future as far as how we can navigate forward to the future. So please do your best to be here for that meeting next Sunday. Also, just want to remind you of the handouts that are at the Welcome Center in the back of the Vinza, and just to take them with you. Wednesday night meal, join us at 6 o'clock. We had a wonderful turnout again this week of some 55 people for our Wednesday night meal. It's been great to get to know people and work with different recovery homes as they come and be a part of our meal together. For those that have been at the Wednesday night meal, the cherry tree, or the walnut tree house that was there this week, majority of people that were there are going to get discharged or have been discharged, so when they join us again, there will be new individuals in the same with cherry trees. So those people in the cherry tree program have been discharged, so we'll see some new faces, and it's just really good that they walk in and they're so excited to be here with us. So thank you for everybody that makes those meals possible and for supporting the blueprints together. Let us go to God and let us pray together this morning. And the last thing I will disclose is that if you are a woman this morning, as you leave, there are carnations in the very back of the church. Take a carnation with you as a token of coming into this church, as remembering your dedication, your service, and the impact that you have made on people's lives. There's a leader on the very back table of the congregation here in the sanctuary. So please take what we do this morning as a token of appreciation from us as a church, saying, we honor you, we value you, and we are so thankful for you being a part of our lives and the lives of the people. So let us pray together. Lord, we come now and we give you thanks and praise for being born and what you've done for us. We give you thanks for moms, for just the impact they've had on our lives, both thick and thin of things. They see us at our worst, they see us at our best, and they love us unconditionally, God. Thank you for our moms. We thank you also for all the godly women that have impacted our lives too, that have reached out to us, who have touched us, who have been there with us. God, we give you thanks for them as well on this special day, and we want to recognize them and how they have impacted our children, our teens, our young adults, even us as adults today. We come and we ask that you pour out your blessing upon the offering that has been planned in this room, that your presence would be felt that as ministry, reach the community here for the love of you. We come and we want to lift those that are not here today that are recovering from different illnesses or sicknesses, God, that you would be with them also. So, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for all you're doing and who really you are. We come before you, God, asking your spirit to fall fresh upon each and every one of us, that you open our hearts and minds, and we can hear from you, and that you be pleased with our words today as we come now. And we say, God, thank you. Thank you for who you are, and thank you for all you've done. Amen. Now, would you please stand as we spend some time worshiping God, bringing him in to praise all his life, and to say, God, for all the good you do not worship, for greatness, for mercy, for awesomeness, God, we are here because of that, for us joining us.
When I look down,
just came from my mom, and she wouldn't let me sleep all day. She made me get up. She said, we're going to waste the day away. She said, you know what? There's things to do in this world. I tell you, I had the worst mom ever.
No, seriously, I love my mom. My mom and I have a great relationship to this very day. And my mom was my biggest supporter. In fact, my mom continually tells me this day that when I was born, and she reminds me this every time I see her, that she said, I know that you were born into something special. God had a plan for your life. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I knew you were doing great things. And she reminds me that every day. She is one of the biggest fans I have. She is one of the best encouragers I have. And she is just a joy to be with as I make her laugh and kid her times. But I'm very thankful that my mom did all those things because I wouldn't have been here today if it wasn't for her. But as we shared earlier, that there are other women who have made an impact in our lives besides our mother. And there are other women who have made an impact in my life because of what they've done and how they've encouraged me that I am here today. That I would not be who I am if it had not been for other women. And that first woman I want to think of is my grandmother, my father's mom. My grandmother was my best friend. She was somebody I could talk to. She didn't judge individuals. She was sad. She listened. And then she kind of gave me that word of wisdom. And you went, wow, that's really profound. Where did that come from? My grandmother was also legally blind and had diabetes, so she could not get around on her own. But my grandmother did not let that stop her. My grandmother said, you know what? I'm legally blind. I have diabetes. I am not going to do anything. I'm going to sit in my home and, you know, everybody can just take care of me. She didn't do that. She said, you know what? I'm going to do what I can do, and I'm going to make sure that this diabetes and this legal blindness does not keep me down. And she overcame those challenges, and she was able to live a good life despite her being legally blind and diabetic. And when I look back on my grandmother, I look back on how she overcame adversity through those challenges. I see it. That is how today that I'm able to overcome adversity in my life because of my grandmother and seeing how she overcame adversity and watching her do that firsthand. That today that I'm able to overcome adversity because of my grandmother and the life she lived. I remember Sunday school teachers that would impact me and they would say, all right, next week, make sure you come back and have these Bible verses memorized. I was going to look for great. And I love Bible verses memorized. As you're kid, and you're like, the first question is, well, if I memorized the Bible verse, what pride do I get? You know, when you're in first or second grade, because they had that little treasure chest thing that happened, you don't remember those, that if you remember the Bible verse, you have to pick something out of the treasure chest. But it was like, all right, what's the treasure chest? What am I going to memorize the verse for? What's going to be good in there? And at the time, I was like, why do I got to do this? This is so silly. This is so stupid. I look back on it, and I am so thankful for those Sunday school teachers that made me memorize scripture and put it in my heart. So that now, as an adult, I remember that scripture because they made a difference and they made sure that God's word was put in my heart. Even if I didn't want to do it, even if I was like, this is a chore, they said, we're going to do it anyway because it's important. I remember there was a member of my last church in Littletown, St. Paul, named Adores, and she was an old lady. After traditional service, she would come out every Sunday and she would talk to me. At that time, I was a youth pastor, and I was loving being a youth pastor. And she said, you're a youth pastor one day. And I talked about this and she said, no, you're a youth pastor. She said, I can see that the gift you have, and you one day are going to be leading a church. And so I smiled and was nice. I said, well, thank you very much. Every Sunday, she would say the same thing to me. And she's like, why don't you think about being a pastor? And I said, because and she's like, well, I was telling you someday you're going to be a pastor. She saw something in me that I didn't see myself. I also remember the associate pastor at St. Paul's, who was there from 2003 to 2008. And as I began to do more things as a youth pastor, she began to say, you know what? Why don't you think about going to seminary? Why don't you think about becoming a pastor? And I looked at her and said, I don't want to become a pastor. She goes, why? I see how pastors can treat me. I don't want all the headaches that a pastor has, and I like that people like me. I don't want to be not liked, so I'm not going to become a pastor. She said, now, Tom, that's just some of it, not all of it. She's like, I'm telling you, why don't you do this? And I said, I'm not going to become a
return upon you. Well, you know, one thing you learn in life is don't say never. Because when you say never, what does God do? God says, okay, guess what? Now let's see what happens. And so I was like, fine. So I took one course at seminary, and I was like, ah, this isn't too bad. And so that one course led me 2.5 years of getting my master's degree. And then in 2008, becoming an associate pastor there at St. Paul's, and then getting moved here for the last 8 years here when I left this church, because those individuals saw something in me that I didn't see in myself and said, there's potential there. God's going to use you. God has something big for you. Go do it. And I was like, sure, right, whatever. Because God gave me and poured into me. But there's more, and I cannot go without mentioning one woman in my life who has been an inspiration and encouragement to me over the last several years that stands beside me in the thick and thin and that showed me grace and mercy. And there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes for some days that you don't know about. There's a lot of stress, a lot of frustration. There's a lot of things that lead up to Sunday service that you don't know that goes on behind the scenes. And in the midst of all that frustration and sometimes stress and sometimes you just kind of want to like scratch your head at times, that the one person that I have to say that I'm very thankful for that has helped me find myself again and to just remember what I'm called to do in ministry and be my part of ministry, and that is my lovely wife, Melanie. We want to say I love you. You know, I go on and on so many times this sermon about how women have impacted my life, they have touched our lives, from Sunday school teachers to moms to other individuals. And I think today as we come, you know who those women are in your life, the godly women that have touched you. And there's one thing I think about godly women, and that is that God has given them a special gift that men don't have. And that is like a sixth sense. They seem to know when people are hurting. They seem to know when you need a word of encouragement. They seem to know when you need that gentle touch on the shoulder or a hug or just a smile. They seem to know how to pray for you when you need prayer. That there's something about godly women that God has given them that an instinct to know, you know what, I need to be here for that individual. Knowing what to say at the right time. Individuals behind the scenes at the church here that do things and give up themselves for others and put their own needs aside so that other needs can be attended to. Godly women that give us a glimpse of God's love and who God is in our life. And how God has placed them to show us how much He cares for us and loves us. The truth is, I believe that when God told Adam, it's not good for you to be not helping. I think when God was saying, hey, knucklehead, I know you're going to make mistakes, so I'm going to create somebody who will come along and support you and encourage you, but I'm also going to stop somebody come along that's not going to be an individual that just kind of, you know, runs right away to things, but kind of sits back and says, let's sort this out together. Let's pray about this. Let's be thinking about this. That He knew that us, by men ourselves, we are instinctively ones that solve problems, that we are ones that instinctively ones to run the things right away. And I believe that God created women to say, hold on, hit the pause button, slow down, and smell the roses of the living life. So many times we take godly women for granted. This morning, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to John 15 here. We're going to be looking at John 15, verses 1 through 17 this morning. This is a passage of the vine and branches. You might say, well, Pastor, that's a really weird passage to be preaching on for Mother's Day. Well, it is and it isn't, because I think there's a lot here in John 15 that we can glean regarding the role of godly women and the role they play in our lives. So this morning, let's just look at John 15, starting at verse 1. For I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear much fruit he prunes, so they'll be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me,
and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself and must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish shall be given to you. For my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves in my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, that remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he who laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, that you love one another. I think there are three traits that we can glean from this passage of godly women in our lives. The first is they believe in people. Godly women believe in people. They believe in the potential of people. One day in class, a teacher asked the students, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the common answers came: president, doctor, fireman, teacher, etc. Until the teacher came to little Tommy. Little Tommy said, possible. The teacher looked at little Tommy and said, what do you mean possible? And little Tommy explained, well, my parents are always telling me, Tommy, you're just so impossible. So when I grow up, I want to be possible. You see, no matter what age it is, whether it's a little child that's home for the first time, whether it's a first grader, whether it's a teenager, a young adult, or any of us as adults, godly women see the possibilities in us, even when we can be challenging individuals at times. That godly women believe in us, even when we don't believe in ourselves, and even when we can be impossible. Godly women sense our self-worth in us, and they remind us of that self-worth. That we are valuable, we're important, that we are loved, and that we are encouraged, and that we don't have to do this thing called life alone. We look this morning at the passage of John 15, we find that Jesus is the same way. That he believes in us. That he sees potential in us. He produces much fruit in us. And he says, yes, there are many times where you're impossible, but I still will hold you to me, even in those impossible times when you might turn your back straight away, but I still see possibility in you, he says. Godly women give us the support we need by seeing the good in us. They spur us on. They keep us grounded. They model God's love to us. And they are selfless. You know, sometimes believing in us does not mean we give a word of courage, and sometimes believing in us means that sometimes we have to correct it in the mops. I mean, I don't remember how many times my mom corrected me, because I was an 8-year-old child, I did nothing wrong. I was a perfect child if you talk to her. And that's not the case. There were many times when my mom had to correct me because I was not doing the things I was supposed to do. Did I like those times? And I would always say, well, Mom, you don't love me. My mom would say, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I would say, yeah, right, I don't want you to die for it, Mom. That doesn't hurt you more than me. It hurt her more because she didn't want to have to do that. But she knew she had to correct me. And it corrected me out of her love. It was something that hurt her and broke her heart because she didn't want to. But she did it because because she loved me and because she wanted to make sure that I didn't make the same mistake again, that I would work on the mistake and now I become a better person. And so many times, godly women, they admonish us, they correct us. So many times they tell us things that we might not want to hear, and they're not telling it to us because they're trying to upset us. They're telling it to us because they care for us, they love us, they want to spur us on the right way, as the scripture tells us that Jesus prunes those branches so that we can develop more growth. That godly women, moms, come alongside of us and they prune us so that we can produce more fruit in our own lives as well. Because as the Father has loved Jesus, so do godly women and mothers love us as well. Sometimes believing in us means you have to be disciplined because they care and they want to remove anything that's holding us back from producing fruit just like Jesus does. And then we find that godly women have that wonderful gift that God has given you, serving touch. Godly women have a way of giving the student touch, whether it's that soft voice in which they come alongside of you and speak to you, whether it's the arm they put around you, whether it's the touch on the elbow. That God has given godly women a role of comfort us. That godly women remind us to say it's okay. Pick yourself up. We're going to do this again. It's okay. You made a mistake. What can you learn from that mistake? You know, that's one thing I remember so many times with my mom is I remember every time I go outside, I'd stick my knee or something, and I'd come in, and my mom would say, "All right, stupid, what did you do this time?" She never said that. She just said, "Come with me. Let's go in the bathroom. Let's get the band-aids out. Let's clean things up. Okay, you're good." And she'd say, "All right, go back out and have fun." And I go back and have fun. I'll do the thing again. Come in the other knee. And my mom was like, "Does it go? What did I tell you?" She says, "All right, let's come in. Let's get the other knee bandaged." And it was, you know, painful at times. That peroxide, that bactine got sprayed on. And I was like, "How does this hurt?" My mom was like, "It's okay." And she was like, "How to ease the pain and distract me." I remember a couple of times I had these stitches. My mom was there holding my hand because my dad can't stand stitches or blood. My mom was holding my hand for the entire time saying, "It's okay. I'm here for you." Because there's something about moms that are able to give us, something about godly women that give us that soothing touch in the midst of pain and difficulty and say, "It's okay. It'll be all right." You know, human touch is important because it gives us strength, it gives us courage, it gives us faith. It gives that healing comfort. Just like my mom, when my knees were skinned and I had a bruised ego, she still comforted me. And I was able to go back outside and play. It's a beautiful form of communication with no words. Again, that God has given to me. Godly women remind us of God's great love for humanity and that loving touch they give us. And lastly, godly women are the best translation of God's word. There were four preachers. They were debating which was the best translation of the Bible. And others said, "Well, I like the New King James," or "I like the Revised Version." And they finally came to a fourth preacher. He didn't say anything. He was quiet and said, "Well, what is your favorite word of the Bible?" And he said, "My favorite word of the Bible, my Sunday school word of the Hebrew." The pastor replied and said, "Well, who was your Sunday school teacher? I don't remember a Sunday school teacher. You have to write the Bible." The fourth pastor said, "You know what? She translated the Bible into life for me. She translated and lived it out. It was the best translation I've ever had in my life because she modeled God's word for me." A godly woman, by her faith, by her example, teaches us more about faith, kindness, selflessness, generosity, encouragement, grace, and mercy. More than any class you can take in seminary, more than any commentary on the Bible, there is. Because a godly woman lives it out and is an example so many times when he's talked about how the pastor gets up and runs every morning, and we're waiting for him to give us a word of encouragement. You know what? I'll tell you what, some of the most important sermons I've heard in my life are not from the pulpit. They are from maybe 5 or 7 minute conversations I've had with godly men in my life. They pulled me aside and said, "Hey, pastor, can I share with you? Can I encourage you? Can I pour into you?" Godly women who will never get up front here and preach the sermon or give a testimony that behind the scenes are praying for us, pouring into us, we don't even know. Those are the sermons that will stick with me. The words of encouragement that I get to receive from them. Those are the sermons that matter. Because they're modeling and living out God's word in their lives. See, godly women demonstrate. You know, there's going to be days where things aren't going to go right. There are going to be days where you're going to have situations and you're going to want to quit, throw the towel. There are going to be days that no matter what you do, it's not going to be right. You're going to say, "It doesn't matter what I do, it's not right. No matter what happens, it's not going to be right. You're going to have the days. And it's okay." That's why we have godly women in our lives to pray for us, to encourage us, to come alongside of us during the days, to say it's okay. It'll be alright. It's not easy, as we know, living in today's world. I don't care how old you are, whether you're a young person in elementary school, a teenager, a young adult, or even an adult, it is not easy to live in today's world. But that is why godly women are so important. Because of the support they give us, because of the fact where they are for us, because they are truly there to help us and walk alongside of us the way Christ does. So today I want to thank all the women here this morning and those watching online for the impact that you have made as you have modeled God's love to us, to each of us, impacting our lives, so that we can be the people that we are today because of your commitment to Christ, remaining in that vine and allowing you to grow much fruit because you have allowed Jesus to use you, to mold you, to shape you, to make a difference in the world in which you live. Thank you for giving us a glimpse of God's love and who God is. Thank you for giving us a glimpse of His grace and His mercy, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through you. Words of encouragement, empowerment, also words of admonishment. Thank you for being open and used by God. Thank you for being a model of living out the Bible in your lives so that others can see that the Bible is alive, well, and active. Thank you for being sufficient. As Steph Gavin said earlier, thank you for giving us wings so that we can fly. Thank you for making the difference. Lord, we come before you now. We thank you for who you are. And we give you thanks, Lord, for all of you, Lord, that are here this morning. The impact they've made on us, they might not even know they have a name on us, so we thank you for their commitment to you. We pray, God, that you would pour out a special blessing on moms and all the women who are here, that you would encourage them and lift them up. Help us not just on a day like today to say thank you, but to take the time to remind our wives, our moms, and those women in our lives that have impacted us more often. How much we appreciate all they do and the sacrifice that they have made by giving up themselves so that others can live. This morning is communion. And as we come together on Mother's Day, what better way to celebrate love than that of the love that Christ gave by sacrificing himself for us on the cross? And so this morning, as we come and we celebrate the love of mothers and the love that a godly woman has, that we come, we also celebrate how Christ has given himself sacrificially to us, selflessly to us, to say, here I am. Come on, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If an open table in the Methodist Church, which means that everybody who's invited to God's table is open to all. If God doesn't say in Scripture, well, unless you're a member of this church, then you can come to my table on Thursday. He doesn't say, well, unless you're baptized, and he says, no, my table is open to everybody. So our table this morning is open to everybody as well. If we come and we take it what we're taking, remembering God's grace and how he has set us apart so that we too will make a difference in the world in which we live, and a godly life, and make a difference in our life. Can you keep it going this time? So as you come this morning, come with the Spirit of each, come and partake of God's goodness and grace for all he's done for us. Come this morning as the Spirit of each.
Did you turn that off? It's not.
It wasn't going.
Yeah.
Thank you.
bread is in broken bread, and said, this is my body that is broken for you and for me. Take and eat. And then he took the lovely cup and he said, this is not the truth. This is my blood that is shed for you, the forgiveness of your sins. He gave the cup over the cup and he said, take and drink. Lord, we come before you now. We give you thanks and praise for that better set of wonderful thing this morning. As we come together, we are reminded of the great love for us. That same great love, Lord, that godly women and mothers have for us as well. Thank you, God, for all you've done for us, your grace and your mercy. And that we are so reminded, God, of the great things you've done for us. Amen. We would stand at this time as we close out our time of worship together. Let us come together and let us just thank God for all the great things he's done for us. The things that we take for granted tonight, let's just say, God, we thank you for all the great things that we sing together.
Okay, go ahead. Yes, turn it on. You too.
Thank you.
welcome, and for everybody else that voted for us, thank you for that. I just wanted to let you know we really appreciated that, so we're going to wait for around a bit. And as we come together today and leave this place, let us not forget the great things that God has done for us, and the great things that God has done, the godly women that He has placed in our lives. So as we go today, may the peace of God be with you, and may His grace and mercy abide in you, that we might impact other individuals' lives the same way we have been impacted by the godly women that have been placed in our lives. Amen. Amen. May the Lord be with you. Women, do not forget to take a carnation with you.
See you, Lynn. Have a good week.